War! What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. War! Ah, good guy! What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Well, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Oh, the only Devil's game I miss is the only game they won in the last 2 weeks. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Oh, poor Seton Hall.
Frank,
they come off a great win against Villanova, and I've been saying since they moved to the Prudential Center, I need to get to a Seton Hall game. I've been to NCAA Eastern Regional Final at the Prudential Center, but I have not yet gone to a Seton Hall game there. And today I finally went to a Seton Hall game, and well, they lost.
Frank, if there ever was a confirmation.
Miles Powell literally could not throw it in the ocean. Seton Hall was like it was like throwing up 3-pointers, and every time clank 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 clank.
Frank, what a surprise that Miles Powell is the second leading scorer in the Big East, and he has his worst game of the season the only night that you go to a Seton Hall game.
I mean, it was a point where it was a point. Stop shooting. Stop shooting. Give the ball to somebody else. Stop shooting. It was just, you know, this happens in basketball. Guys don't have nights where they just can't hit it. And he actually hit 1 3-pointer as I'm leaving. Of course, that was after the game was already over in the last couple of seconds, garbage time.
Exactly, Frank. Well, the difference is with this Seton Hall team this year is they're really deep. Like, Powell was in foul trouble against Villanova on Saturday, and the other guys picked him up. And guys like Jay Roden had a good game, Shavar Reynolds.
Crane's a good team, but it's just a game where it just, God, they just so, they just missed too many shots. It was, Seton Hall was like 20% from three, and Creighton was like 40% from three.
Frank, if Powell just has an okay night, they probably pull out the win there.
The game was close throughout. It was not a blowout. It was back and forth most of the night, and Powell just could not hit from water if he fell out of a boat.
Yeah, part of it was Powell, and then also part of it was that they got out rebounded.
No, the rebounds were fairly close.
Well, towards the end, they got out rebounded. Once they got down six, they couldn't get back because they were getting out rebounded down the stretch.
Well, once the guy's name, I can't pronounce the guy's name, the guy from Georgia, and I'm not talking about America, Georgia. Once he fouled out, the rebounding went down the tubes.
Yeah, they.
But the rebounding was both teams had like around. The stats are kept in the arena. When I looked at the stat with about 5 minutes left, Seton Hall had a slight rebounding edge. It was like 25-20.
Well, Frank, my friend was there sitting a couple sections away from you. He's like Seton Hall's alumni, number one super fan, big fan of our show, actually. He listens every week. And he said he heard you from a distance screaming about them missing the free throws down the stretch.
Well, I was hoping they would miss two free throws.
He actually he threatened to unsubscribe if they lost for the game that you went to, because he knows you're a mush too. So we might be losing a follower.
I was hoping that they would miss two free throws in a row. I would have been able to get a free burger out of it.
Oh really? Why was that? What was the?
They do the promotion. If the visiting team misses two free throws in the last 5 minutes, you go to BGR, and you can get a free burger.
What if the game was on the line? Would you still have been hoping that they missed it?
No, Creighton missed it.
Oh, Creighton missed it. I thought that Seton Hall missed it.
Well, I wanted Seton Hall to miss it, to do the deliberate miss when they were down five.
Frank, all I know is that you need to stay away from this team. This team's special this year. They got a legit chance. Just don't go.
I probably won't go to another Seton Hall game.
Please don't.
There's not that many games to go to, but I went for a special reason. Look at this. Look what I got.
You got a nice bobblehead right there.
It's Bill Raftery.
Yep.
And look what he has. You know what that is? It's a bag of onions.
Bag of onions. That's right. You want to explain to our listeners why that is?
Everyone knows what that means.
Well, tell them.
Bill Raftery uses onions as a vernacular for testicles. When whenever someone makes a good play, onions. That's a trademark catchphrase. You never heard that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, Bill Raftery. He's an announcer. He does games mainly on. He does some games on CBS, but he's a famous college basketball announcer. And 40 years ago, he actually was Seton Hall's coach.
Well, Frank, did you go to the bathroom by any chance during the game and hear Gary Cowan on the radio broadcast for Seton Hall?
I actually did not go to the bathroom during the game.
Well, you missed out. Gary Cowan calling Seton Hall games is a little weird because it's not the Mets, but he does a fantastic job.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, it does. And he does some tournament games, too. He goes some of the tournament games on, like, the CBS radio. That's why often in spring training you have Gary Apple and his awfulness.
Oh, God. Don't bring that up. That Kansas City series when Gary Apple took over for Gary Cowan. Well, Gary Cohen was on vacation. That was terrible.
They got to find a better B team.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I like Wayne. I'm a little biased because I'm friends with Wayne Randazzo, but I think he did a lot better. He didn't do that bad as.
I don't love Wayne Randazzo. You know who I liked? I forgot the guy's name.
Todd Zeal.
No, Todd Zeal. Todd Zeal was. Todd Zeal was as colorless as. I mean, he was vanilla. He was worse than vanilla.
Yeah, he's very, very monotone.
But I forgot the guy's name, but he was a sub on the radio.
Oh, is it the guy who went to the Red Sox?
No, not him.
Oh, is it Ed Coleman?
No, not Ed Coleman.
Not Howie Rose, obviously, the legend.
Yeah, I'm not talking about Howie Rose, but who was the guy? I think he does like minor league baseball mostly. He was on WCBS last year. WCBS Mets fill-in radio. I forgot the guy's name, but I liked him.
Yeah, I mean, the Mets, we're lucky, Frank. We're really spoiled that we have such an all-star, at least – A team for the color commentators for Gary, Keith, and Ron. I mean, they really just make the game so much more enjoyable with the stories and everything and their insight.
God forbid they ever lose them. I mean, Jesus, man.
I know. What the hell are they? What was it like watching Mets games before Gary Cohen?
Well, if it was, here's the guy's name, John Sadak.
I've never heard of him.
He was pretty good. He did a couple of games last year when, like, Howie Rose went on like a vacation for a week, or Wayne Randazzo went on vacation for a week. He was a filling guy on the radio.
Oh, interesting.
And he's actually pretty good. I actually liked him. I think that I'd rather have him than Gary Apple. Gary Apple is okay for studio.
He's good in the studio.
But he just is drab. Blech.
Yeah, guys have their strengths and they have their weaknesses, and Gary Apple's definitely better suited.
Too bad they couldn't. It's too bad they couldn't bring in Wuchimkoff once in a while. Kevin Burkhart, he was to do games once in a blue moon. Like
he's great.
Like used to.
He's great, but that's why Fox snatched him up.
Yeah, but have him. He's not doing Fox games every week. He could come in 1 week and fill in.
I think it's just like a contract thing that it's.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's.
Well, let me put it this way. Ralph Kiner was hilarious. Ralph Kiner was basically even when he was still fairly young, he didn't exactly have it together in the booth.
Well, yeah, do you remember in his later years, he went on a couple times during Mets games and talking with Gary, Keith, and Ron in the booth during the Mets games?
Yeah, but when he was still, like, in his prime, when he was still, he was always making mistakes. He was blunderful.
Like John Sterling?
Yeah, he had a lot of blunders. There's even a 25-minute compilation on YouTube. That is hilarious.
Speaking of John Sterling, Frank, did you hear him and Susan Waldman love the new rule proposal about the playoffs?
Fucking asshole. Idiots! Now, you know who else was doing that games back then?
Who?
Tim McCarver.
That's right.
You know what that was like? That was like you want to grab a gun and shoot yourself in the fucking head. Tim McCarver, you know how bad he was on regular games during the regular on Fox? Imagine hearing that every night.
Oof. That's like Joe Buck calling every Giants.
You know, up until I was 14, it didn't bother me. But as I got older and I heard the same thing over and over and over again, you wanted to start banging your head against the wall. Of course, the Mets were actually pretty good in when I first started listening to Tim McCarver. We're talking about 86, 85, 87, 88. Yep. But when the Mets started stinking, then it got annoying. They had Gary Thorne off and on, who was pretty good.
Gary Thorne's amazing.
Then they had Fran Healy, who, my God, I hated him so fucking much. He was a rotor announcer. I swear to God, he was rooting for the Mets to lose.
Well, Frank, you were saying last week, too, when I said that the Mets' dream booth was going to be Jessica Mendoza and Maggie Gray and Lori Rubenson, and you said no. You said replace them with Fran Healy.
Yes, he was awful.
Frank, I want to...
You made that hipper because they've got chipper.
Oh, my God.
It's can of corn. Tastes so sweet. Mets go down. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, my God. When did he... What era did he announce for them? Because that was before my time.
He was there up until they went to SNY.
Yeah, I didn't start watching until after they came over to SNY. I was young.
2005 was his last year with the Mets.
Yep, and I started watching in 06, so...
They had this guy named Steve Zabriskie in the 80s.
Frank. Frank, before we dive deeper down this rabbit hole, I do want to hear your take about the new playoff proposal by Rob Manfred and everything he's kind of...
It is so mind-boggling stupid. It's like he's hanging with Gary fucking Bettman and Roger Goodell in it, and it's like the Three Stooges.
Manfred's head stooge now, though, I'd say, with all the new rules he's coming out with. I mean, imagine teams with under 500 are going to be in the playoffs with this rule.
You know, one thing that makes baseball baseball is how hard it is to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, and I love the fact that they added a second wild card, but...
Change it. We don't need it. What are we going to have? Yeah, I could just picture... And then he's talking about 2 out of 3 series. So we're going to have the playoffs go to Thanksgiving. Playoffs go to December. Jingle bells, there goes a home run. The World Series on Christmas Day. What a way to be. Hey!
The thing is, baseball season already cuts too far into football season. Why would they want to extend it?
I wouldn't mind it going into my birthday, November 13th. But I think that should be the cutoff. Personally, yeah.
It's fucking it's freezing already.
Yeah, I know. This is idiotic. It don't touch what doesn't need to be touched.
Frank, what pisses me off is that Manfred keeps emphasizing how he wants to attract new fans. Who the fuck cares?
And I'm tired of these people like kowtowing to these idiots who aren't going to watch baseball to begin with.
And it's like, if he really wants to attract new fans and the young, it starts with the kids, first of all. You need to, like, listen to what Trevor Bauer said. And Trevor Bauer's been ripping Manfred. Trevor Bauer said, Steph Curry throws a bounce pass in an NBA game and it gets 1.5 million views. Mike Trout robs a home run and you can't even see the clip because of how strict MLB is with their video.
Yep, damn right. You're damn right. That's number one. They need to just chill out. Let people show the fucking highlights on do the Twitter, do the Instagram, do things like that. That's going to attract the fans. Number two, how about How about World Series games starting at 6:30? But yeah, you know what I love is, oh, but the people, kids in California, they're in school. Fuck them! Fuck them! They're in school at 6:30. You know what happens? You know what happens at 5 o'clock? They come home. You know what innings they miss? 1, 2, 3. You know what the kids on the East Coast get at 9 o'clock? Bedtime! You know what innings they miss? The important innings!
And when it goes into extras.
We got the California kids. And the California kids, meanwhile, are out there going, we don't like baseball. We need to go. Baseball is a boomer sport. I'd rather watch hacky sack and the arts, yeah, and go skateboarding and surfing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say we don't need the California population liking baseball. I mean, they're all Dodger fans anyway, and we don't need that garbage.
I don't care if someone from California misses the beginning of a game. These 12-year-old, 10-year-olds who parents put them in bed at 9, 10 o'clock are missing the end of baseball games, which is the important innings. It's like we're ass backwards.
Well, like it's there's new rules, and then also MLB released the three rules that are going to be implemented this year, and one of them's the three batter minimum rule. What do you think about that one?
That rule is asinine.
It completely eliminates the lefty specialist entirely.
It's asinine. I don't mind the other rule changes. I especially like the end of the fucking September ridiculousness.
I like how they're expanding the rosters to 26 guys. That's the only good thing.
I actually like that, too.
That's what they've done. But the annoying part is people are bitching about pace of play, pace of play. They're trying to do all this pace of play shit with the lefty, the three-batter minimum. Imagine I said, huge spot, late in the game. There's two outs, bases loaded. You need to bring in a situational pitcher to get out the next batter to save the game for you. It could be in any inning, just like to get out of the jam. And you can't make that. You have to keep a guy in who's either shot or it's
well,
not a good matchup.
Well, there is a caveat to the three-batter minimum.
Are you allowed to do that if those are the circumstances?
There is a caveat.
What is it?
You bring in a pitcher with one out, with two outs. And the inning ends. That is the caveat. He doesn't have to pitch next inning. So it's not a strict three-batter minimum. So, for example, he comes in, and it's a lefty right. It's a lefty, and then two righties come up. You bring him in to face Bryce Harper. He gets Bryce Harper out. Now there's two outs. He still has to face three batters before the inning's over. But if the inning ends, you could change the pitcher. So if you bring in a lefty specialist with two outs, and he ends gets Bryce Harper to end the inning, you don't have to bring him out for the next inning.
You know what, Frank? Though where I see the issue is, they think that this is going to speed up the game. When you have a guy in there who the batter, it's a bad matchup, and the batter's batting 450 off the guy, he's going to get a hit, and then the inning's going to be prolonged because of the stupid three batter minimum rule. Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a lot more intentional walks with this.
Yeah, that's right. And that slows the game up too.
It's not even the intentional walk anymore. They've changed that rule where you just go. It's almost like the abracadabra. You know, I've seen balks on intentional walks. I've seen intentional walks where the guy threw a wild pitch. But so that rule changed a couple of years ago. So you'll see a lot of intentional walks. And technically, if you bring in a lefty to face the leadoff hitter, he walks the next two, then you can change pitchers.
Can we talk about how this sign-stealing scandal is still being talked about every day, and now the new story that Beltran now was like the lead catalyst? Thank God the Mets fired him. I know we wanted him. I wanted him to be here. You wanted him to be here. But thank God. Imagine they'd be running around with chickens without their heads if that story dropped yesterday and he was still the skipper of the Mets.
What? You know what this tells me? Brody Van Wagenen has to fucking go.
Well, they obviously knew.
The investigation didn't start technically until after the Mets hired him.
And that's why they're okay, but they clearly knew. They're liars. Just like Hinch saying he didn't know. Or people debating whether Hinch knew or not. Hinch knew. Everybody knew.
Did you see the clip of, I think it was Danny Farquhar from 2017?
What about it?
Where he caught what was going on. And you could hear, dun, 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 dun. And then he threw like a slider. And it was ripped foul. And he called the catcher over.
That's right. I did see that clip. He was a lousy pitcher, but yes, they were stealing from him with the trash can banging. The thing is, though, like, Beltran, the annoying part is everyone's trying to make it out like, Beltran only did this 1 year, and it was only on the Astros. No. Where was he for 3 years before the Astros? The Yankees. Where was he for the 2 years after the Astros? The Yankees, but in the front office.
You know, there's a lot of whispers going on that this all started with the Yankees. But Rob Manfred doesn't even look at it. Yeah. You know, if the Yankees get implicated, I will actually have to do a motherfucking worm. And I will have to do the worm at the Barstool office right in front of fucking Hubs. For him and all the Yankee fans who fucking said, the Yankees are clean, the Yankees are clean, the Yankees are clean. Fuck no! You know who probably developed this? Derek Jeter probably developed it. While he was taking steroids.
The problem is, the Yankees, because they were so involved with the Astros the last couple of years in the playoffs, their fans have been on their high horses about high moral ground and non-cheating yeah. The whole time. They've been loving this, and it's just like, I want to see their fucking world come crashing down.
I so bad want to see the Yankees get named in this.
Yeah, it's literally only because they've been on their damn high horses the whole time about the Astros.
I would like to have a box of popcorn, and just eat it, like, you know, they like the Joker gif, just chewing on the popcorn, a box of popcorn.
Well, the Joker
as the Yankees are like they're trying to make apologies.
The Joker gif where he's leaving the exploding hospital, and he goes, "And here we go." Yeah, but really, it's not really anything against the Yankees. It's just like, it's annoying how everyone's kind of, they're acting like the saints in all this. And Beltran
Nobody is clean.
They all were doing
Nobody
it.
Nobody. Sign stealing is as old. It goes back 70 years. I told you the story of the 51 Giants.
Yeah, Frank, we know that it's a part of the game. It's just that in the mid-2010s, last decade, that's when all teams started to take advantage of these electronic sign stealing.
Yeah, well, that's because they set up the replay rooms, and then all of a sudden they went, ooh,
exactly. And then MLB told them to knock it off, and the Astros and Red Sox didn't knock it off.
Yeah. And supposedly Alex Cora just was like the scumbag of it, and AJ Hinch, you're not innocent. Come on.
Yeah, no, he's clearly not. We know he's not innocent. It's just annoying where everyone's like, "Oh, he had no authority. He had no authority. He was in on it."
And this actually taints the 2017 and 2018 championships. It taints it. I don't want to vacate it. I don't want to put anything about it. But you know, there's going to be a taint to it. There's a little bit of a stain to the Astros and Red Sox championships.
There will always be a stain. But I just don't want to hear the Yankees fans keep saying that they got robbed of the World Series championships.
No, they didn't get robbed of shit.
They lost because they didn't hit. They didn't lose because of the sign stealing. They didn't get the clutch hits.
I'm tired of the stop it. The Yankee fans need to stop it.
Yep. But Frank, yeah. This baseball, there's really had like a black eye of an off season. You know, for Met fans, we had our highs and lows. One thing that's really confusing me now is, of course, the Steve Cohen deal fell through, as we all feared. The Mets are still for sale, and now it turns out that they're willing to give up control right away to the next buyer, even though that's the main reason, from what we know, as to why that deal fell through with Steve Cohen. Why didn't they just give it to Cohen? They would have made so much money.
Well, there's something rotten in Denmark here.
Yeah, and Manfred, of course, was backing them up, as usual.
Rob Manfred. Let's call him what he really is. He's Manfred. He's not Rob Manfred. He's Rob Manfred.
Well, did you see Trevor Bauer called him a joke last night too on Twitter? That was crazy.
You know, the more we get these cheating scandals, steroids, and the fact that that gambling on baseball is now legal. Well, of course, players can't bet on it, but. Gambling, they have so many gambling apps now, gambling advertising the stadium. It is time that Pete Rose gets reinstated. So, and the same thing with Shula Show. Put them both in the Hall of Fame. There's no threat of Pete Rose managing any team. He's almost 80. He's been out of the game 30 years. Just put him in the Hall of Fame. Let's stop making the Hall of Fame. And everyone's on the Hall of Fame is like the Ivy Tower. It truly is. The Baseball Hall of Fame is become a disgrace. First off, there's people in the Hall of Fame now that just have no business being in the Hall of Fame.
Harold Baines.
You know who's going to the Hall of Fame this year? Ted Simmons.
Yeah, I don't even know who. I've never even really heard of Ted Simmons.
Ted Simmons was a solid player. And there's certain points where you could say, okay, maybe he could make him a Hall of Famer. But I could think of at least 10 players that should be in the Hall of Fame before Ted Simmons.
Frank.
How about Dave Parker? How about
Dave
Parker, you can't put him in Hall of Fame. He did drugs.
Frank, how is Dale Murphy not in? Kurt Schilling should be in.
Kurt Schilling, literally, there are some voters that actually say they don't want him in the Hall of Fame because of his political views.
Yeah, no, of course, they would do that.
Oh, which I'm glad. Jeff Perlman actually is said, I will never vote for him.
What a surprise, because people, of course, do not base off performance. They base off people's opinions and views.
It's a total joke.
He was one of the best big game pitchers of all time. You heard Lenny Dykstra. Lenny said if there's anyone you wanted on the mound in a one-game winner-take-all, it was Kurt Schilling.
All I know is that bloody sock.
Yep. That's right. That's solidified.
And he's not far away. He's close. So you know it's these fucking like 20-30 riders that probably are probably like staunch like Bernie type people don't think that someone with his views like look down upon his views, which is a total joke.
All I'm gonna say about Bernie type people is Bernie's a socialist, and it's like, if you really want to live like that, you should go to Cuba, because it's really fucked up what's going on over there, what that socialism has done to that country.
You know what this actually is? You know why we have this socialist kick going on in this country?
Why is that?
Think about what started happening in schools. Did it? When I was in school, you know what happened if you lost?
You didn't get a participation trophy.
This is the participation trophy generation coming home to roost. They think that in life, you should get a participation trophy. And socialism is the ultimate participation trophy for real life.
Yeah, well, let's see how people start liking socialism when they start rationing off food to everybody. Because that's what they do in Cuba.
Soylent Green.
Yeah, my people, and it's a slap in the face to the people who escaped Cuba. My girlfriend's dad was 30 years old when he escaped Cuba. Like, it's an insult to the people who came here to escape that dictatorship and the socialism country that's gone to shit because of it. So
I never forget, Vin Scully actually said one time, he did, in his last year, he never really got political, but for some reason he just got on a political bent. And a guy like who was up from Venezuela playing for a team and stuff, he goes, Venezuela, so many people in that country are starving, but not the leaders. The leaders have all the money. Such is the case always in socialist countries.
Yeah, and you could also look in the Middle East too, with that's the same thing going on, unfortunately.
You know, if you look at all these countries where everyone is broke and poor, famine, you know what you know what it is?
Their leaders.
Time. I was doing my honest date the other day, and it was about the 1985 NHL All-Star Game. It was today's, and I came across with a summary for the NHL All-Star Game, and that all the players of the All-Star Game that year participated in the Canadian version of We Are the World. There's like one, like a 5-second clip of all the players on the ice singing the chorus.
Did Michael Jackson come out and holding the little boy's hand?
No, this was a different song. This is all Canadian artists, like Brian Adams, Rush, Geddy Lee.
Frank, before we forget, did you see that new facility, spring training facility the Mets built to use 8 weeks out of the year for $57 million allocating of assets, and they're not letting the Port St. Lucie single A team use it this year when they spent $57 million, but really spent $24 million on the roster this year?
Well, the Mets did not spend $57 million on that facility.
The taxpayers did.
The taxpayers of Port St. Lucie did. So that,
yeah, that's lovely. I wonder who voted for that.
Yeah. Basically, the Mets basically said, if you don't do this, we're gonna look to move our spring training, our minor league facility, and our spring training facility.
The Wilpons are crooks. We've known that. They're very shady characters. Just look at their negotiating tactics.
So the Mets didn't pay that $57 million.
And also, Frank, it was so insulting.
I think it's an insult to the players of Port St. Lucie Mets that they can't get to use that facility when the Mets go north.
And look at like Ty Kelly, who was like, oh yeah, that's really a motivation tactic, and not living with six other guys in a 2-bedroom apartment, eating beans every night. Like, they're such assholes. It's because Jeff played his week of minor league baseball because daddy got him drafted, and then he quit because it was too hard. He wasn't good enough. And he didn't get a trophy, and he went to go work with daddy's business, and then he's going to be in charge all the time and run everything.
Ty Kelly.
From the top ropes.
I mean, Ty Kelly is probably the luckiest man to ever have a couple of bats in Major League Baseball. I've never seen a batter that looked like he was
overmatched.
Afraid. You saw his stance, right?
Yep.
He looked like he was afraid.
His only good at bat ever was in the 2016 wild card. He pinch hit in the ninth inning, and that was the only hit I think I've ever seen him get in a Mets uniform. Probably was the only hit he got in a Mets uniform, but it was on a big spot, so I credit him for that. But that was literally his only time. He did not belong in a major league.
He looked intimidated. He looked scared at the plate. That's the thing that I always remember about Ty Kelly.
He just wasn't good, and he knew it. He didn't have high confidence. You got to be fearless. You got to have that mama
mentality. Which kind of surprises me that he actually even made it to the majors. Because players like that usually get rooted out in single A. Like the guy, this joke. I forgot the guy's name. But this guy is suing the Yankees.
Yeah, I saw that story.
Suing Derek Jeter.
Yep.
For torpedoing his career. And the guy never made it past single A.
Yeah, I know. The guy literally sucked. He wasn't even good enough in the Charleston League.
So, does he realize that there's 30 teams in Major League Baseball? That if you had any ability, you would have been in Double-A? Any ability!
Yeah, Frank, some people are just really delusional. our last... obviously, pitchers and catchers are reporting now. We're getting closer to... Grapefruit League play, but we had a huge trade go down, of course. Mookie Betts traded to the Dodgers. What are your thoughts on that?
I like that the someone said an article. The Mets Marais put an article out saying that the Mets were in on Mookie. yeah, right.
Well, the SNY propaganda came out with that today. That apparently the Red Sox were asking for Jeff McNeil, and the Mets said no. They were trying to center it around Brandon Nimmo or J.D. Davis and prospects.
First off, I really like Jeff McNeil.
You realize they almost traded Jeff McNeil for Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz last year, but instead they now this year they won't trade him for Mookie Betts.
I really like Jeff McNeil.
Yeah, and I've loved him since he debuted. The guy can flat out hit.
He's a great player.
All he does is hit, and he's a championship player.
But you do not say no if it's McNeil for Mookie Betts. That is insane.
Well, Frank, first of all, it's not straight up, and second of all, it's a contract year, and you know they're not paying him the money next year, especially with these cheapskates still in charge. So I don't blame them. McNeil's young. He's young-ish, and he's controllable.
I don't even think the Red Sox even approached the Mets. First off, a caveat for the deal was you had to take the dead weight that is known as David Price.
Well, no, the thing is, it was going to be a swap for Price, but the Mets were either going to give them Jed Lowry or... Well, no, the thing is, the Mets couldn't take on Price. To take on Mookie Betts' salary, the Mets were going to have to dump either Jed Lowry or Yoenis Cespedes, and that's why the deal didn't happen.
Yeah, everyone's talking about the Dodgers being favorites for the World Series. You know why the Dodgers are not going to the World Series?
Because they're choke artists.
Do you know who's going to be making postseason starts for next year?
Well, they lost Ryu. They lost Kenta Maeda. But David Price is going to be making postseason starts for them.
And who else?
Clayton Kershaw. You know what, Frank? That's why.
Are there any worse postseason pitchers than those two?
Well, Frank, that's all the reason why I think the Mets and Nationals are probably the two most dangerous contenders in the NL.
Yeah, the Dodgers are going to win 110 games, and they're not going to make the World Series. You heard it here first.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. They probably won't. Their lineup, I'm sure, will be very, very, very fearful, and it was really good last year, too.
The Dodgers are going to steamroll the National League West, which is right now is a hideous division.
Yeah, I mean, the Diamondbacks, though, got better, and they won 85 games, but I don't take them seriously yet. So, now they have big game Madison Bumgarner, too.
The Diamondbacks and the Mets are almost on the same line, where if everything goes right, they could win as many as 95. If everything doesn't go right, they could finish with under 500.
Yeah, of course. I just think that the Mets are still a step above the Diamondbacks, and they showed that last year.
The Giants are now completely rebuilding.
The Padres are...
The Giants have Gabe Kapler as their manager. They're going from Bruce Bochy to Gabe Kapler.
Going
from Bill Belichick to fucking Richie Kotite.
Frank, it's like going from Tom Coughlin to Ben McAdoo.
The Giants might lose 100 games.
Yeah, I heard they're interested in Yasiel Puig, so we'll see if they sign. I mean, even if they sign him, but...
What's he going to do? Yasiel Puig is so overrated.
Frank, I want to talk the NL is super deep this year. It was super deep last year. But think of it. The NL East is the best division in baseball right now. The fourth place team finished 500 in the Phillies. The third place team was 86 wins in the Mets. And the second place team was the World Series champion Washington Nationals. This year in the NL East, you're going to have the same four teams fighting for playoff spots. They could honestly have three playoff teams this year in the Mets, Nationals, and Braves. Then in the NL Central, you have – this is what the NL Central was last year. But now you have the Cardinals and you have the Brewers. And then I think the Brewers and Cubs, honestly, are going to take a step back. And watch out for the Reds. The Reds have a very talented team.
The Reds are going to make a step forward. The Pirates are going to be terrible.
Pirates will be terrible.
The Cubs are about to implode.
Yeah, I don't think the Cubs will be – Cubs are looking to trade Chris Bryant potentially too. So you got that. And then you look at the NL West and the Dodgers look like the clear-cut favorite. The Padres might be good. They're kind of on the same level as the Mets.
Yeah, the Padres could be – if things click for the Padres, things could be right. I see them in the mid. I see them as a winning team. The Rockies are going to lose 90.
Yeah, I mean, the Rockies weren't bad last year, but then, you know, also they have Arenado is unhappy. They didn't improve their team as usual this offseason. I don't see the Rockies being good. The Diamondbacks and Padres will probably be in it for a while at least and could potentially make the playoffs if all goes
and
right.
And the NL Central, there's three teams that are going to be tightly bunched. It's going to be the Cardinals, the Reds, and the Brewers. The Cubs, I think, are going to take a major step backwards, and the Pirates are going to be terrible.
Yeah, Frank, I think that honestly right now, I think that the Nationals win the division, the Mets are in second, the Braves are in third, actually, and the Mets and Braves play each other in the wild card game. I think the NL Central is going to be the Cardinals winning that division, and then the NL West, of course, I think that it's going to be the Dodgers. But it's going to be a tight race.
I'm not sure about the Nationals.
I think the Nationals, obviously, they've lost a huge, huge bat in their best hitter in Anthony Rendon. But at the same time, they did sign a bunch of scrappy guys like Starling.
I think they'll really miss Rendon. I think they'll have a slight World Series hangover.
The World Series hangover is definitely a real thing. I agree with you there.
I think the Nationals will actually not make the playoffs. I think I see them fighting with the Phillies for third.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Nationals will get off to a slow start, but I think they're going to be right in the thick of things. I think that they.
I'm not going to say they're going to be out of it, but I think the Nationals could be end up where the Mets were last year, 82, 84, 85, 86 wins.
The thing is, the Nationals, though, their bullpen for recent years has been their weakness has been the bullpen in recent years, and you know they did spend money to upgrade it this offseason. You know, missing out on Rendon, they spent the money elsewhere, and you know they're gonna have good pitching. They might have World Series hangover with the pitchers throwing so many
innings. I really think the loss of Rendon is gonna be big because he was their clutch hitter, their clutchest hitter.
Yeah, you're right, and he was a huge Met killer. And honestly, I'm so glad that he's out of the National League. Let alone the division, and
I'm personally happy for Anthony Rendon and his family. I hope his kids take full advantage of where they're living. They could go to Disney every day. They could. It's a small world after all. get on those Disney rides. Get the Disney Black VIP card.
Well, Frank, over in Anaheim, they sing "It's a Small Market." After all, you know that. Because between Trout and Rendon, they'll never put anything around them.
They don't understand or something. Angels, to actually win, you need somebody on the mound that could win games.
They haven't had that since Jared. They haven't had it since Jared Weaver.
The Angels always like spend money on hitters. I mean, geez, they're still paying Albert Pujols.
Josh Hamilton, remember that? That's when they went downhill.
The Josh Hamilton contract. You know, when the Mets signed Jason Bay, people laughed at me. I did not like the Jason Bay signing. You know, some Mets fans actually liked the Jason Bay signing.
Oh, I loved it at the time. He was the best left fielder in the game.
I hated it. You know why? I looked at him. I said, he's the wrong player for this team. You're putting a square peg in a round hole. His swing was terrible for Citi Field, which is before. This is when we had the Great Wall of Flushing. And I said that this guy is going to be a bust. And people laughed at me. You know how I always do like the someone's numbers are going to be really bad?
Yep.
I predicted him to be a two. I predicted him to have Jay Bruce type numbers, 230 batting average, with 20 home runs and 70 RBI. Do you know that would have been so much better than he actually was?
Seriously, Frank, he's the classic case of he was juicing to get his money. He got life-changing money, and it was all guaranteed because that's what they do in baseball. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to keep doing steroids. I'm not as motivated anymore. Whatever. I'll get paid, and I'll relax, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was against that signing. I knew it was going to be a bust, and it was even worse than I thought it would be. Well, when the Angels signed Josh Hamilton, I knew that was going to fail. Josh Hamilton is a junkie.
Frank, do you remember, God, that seems like forever ago with Jason Bay, when the Mets actually had a top payroll in baseball and used to spend the money, and our biggest worries were these guys are going to come to the Mets and be busts. Now it's they don't even show interest in the top players.
The Mets have never spent properly. Whenever they did the spending sprees, it's always been a disaster. 1992, you weren't born in 1992.
No, my brother was.
Let me tell you about the 1992 Mets. The Mets in the 80s, you know the whole story about how good they were. 90 wins or more almost every year except for 89.
Yeah, 92 was the worst team money could buy.
Yeah. So anyway, 91, they lose Darryl Strawberry, they bring in Vince Coleman, and have a terrible second half. So they go out in the offseason, they get rid of the whiner, Greg Jeffries. They bring in Brett Saberhagen. They bring in Eddie Murray. They bring in Bobby Bonilla. And they bring in Willie Randolph.
And all of them were terrible.
They went out and got Jeff Torberg, who was manager of the year. They plucked him away from the White Sox. And it was Hardball is back. And it was a disaster. They were the highest payroll in baseball in 1992. And they lost 90 games. They ended up tearing it down at the end of the season. In 93, they lost 103.
Frank, and you know...
it's a disaster.
Frank, you know what? That reminds me of a team 20 years later. The Miami Marlins in their inaugural season in Miami. When they spent all that money on Jose Reyes... and they moved Hanley Ramirez over to third base. And
well, there was reason for that, at least. They had to, try to draw fans to that new stadium.
Yeah, and then they tore it all down in half a season because the team sucked.
And ironically enough, they plucked a manager away from the White Sox, Ozzie Guillen, and then he had the brilliance to say that Fidel Castro is a hero.
Oh, my God.
Which basically, you could see the SpongeBob meme with all the fish looking angrily at him at the stage?
Yeah, I mean, if you say that in Miami, you're going to get a swarm of basically the whole entire southern tip of the state of Florida.
Which is why the Dolphins, even if Colin Kaepernick could have been the next Dan Marino, the Dolphins couldn't even touch him.
Yeah, he wore a Fidel Castro shirt. We all know that. So
yes. I remember when Kiko Alonso, the next week after that happened, clobbered him.
Yeah.
And Kiko Alonso had family members that were tortured by Castro.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Frank, this has been a great show this week. I don't think we have asked the tank, but I think we should stop it right here. I mean, this is great timing for us for once. Usually we go over our time a bit, and it's been a pleasure shooting the shit with you, as always.
Let me get ready to stop the recording.
Take us out.
Right now I'm getting a stupid buffering wheel.
Take us out on a little song, Frank.
Buffering. My computer fucking sucks. Why is it always crashing? Buffering, it is torture. I think one day in hell it will be a buffering wheel. Thanks. See you guys next week. Always click and subscribe.
Thanks again, Frank.
All right, now let me see if I can stop the recording.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. Whoa!